flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Is this Sugar Ray?
Nailed it.
This is, I mean, Wheelhouse Central right here. Greg Hill is off. This is the Greg Hill Show. I am about 90 minutes north of where Greg will be later today in lovely Jupiter.
You guys
great Courtney
up?
And Wiggs are in the studio. Courtney still trying to come to grips with the theft of one of her colleagues of a Celsius that we've been talking about a bit. If you missed it, Courtney, could you do a quick Cliff Notes version for the audience about what happened with the Celsius we discussed yesterday?
Yeah, Rich Keefe stole it out of the fridge. He's not sorry about it. I have to accept it and just move on, I guess. I mean, people can make fun of me all they want. I guess I have to, you know, just praise everybody else.
Unless you
want
to file a police report.
No.
Stolen Celsius.
The thing that hurt me the most is like how the mighty have fallen. Like, Rich and I were good pals. I went on the Dork Pod a few times. Like, I'm a champion of Rich Keefe.
Right.
I love Rich Keefe. And I'm a fan of his. And I'm a fan of Jones and Thief.
Right.
And I don't know where we go from here.
Right. Let me play therapist here for you for
okay.
a quick second.
Please.
Do you see why he's upset?
No.
Okay. So he's upset because you're basically questioning his credibility and his source, who's been pretty much spot on, and now saying that his source basically used him as a pawn to stir up whatever type of... So basically, your source used you and lied to you, and you ran with this fake story.
Yeah, I don't trust his source.
No, but do you see why he's mad?
No, because I'm not questioning his credibility. He was told something by somebody who got it right the last 4 times he had a scoop. Okay, I would run with that story as well. This has nothing to do with Keefe's credibility. I don't trust this source, which I think I have every right not to trust. Why should I be trusting this no-name, no-face person that Rich Keefe is talking to all the time? That I would never... So, before you say this,
uh-huh.
I would never get the same out. Let me just say that.
All right, so... but
ever.
But the reason why... But you trusted the source for the other stories.
Because they were right.
Right.
Right, but who's to say they're not right? You're only saying they're not right because Brad Marchand came out and said it was a lie.
Okay, so that's why... I don't know why
I'm playing therapist here.
I understand,
now.
But I feel like I'm living in an alternate universe. If I was in this position and I was Rich Keefe, everybody on the station would be questioning, okay, well, if Brad's saying it's not true, like, I've gotten things wrong plenty of times.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Eric Shun.
Would you be upset if you had broken multiple stories and they were all right?
Yeah.
And then you potentially broke another story and people would then, they would then questioning or criticizing or... You know,
that's happened to me before. Like, I don't understand. Rich,
if I could play, I'm going to play ref here for a quick second. Mm-hmm. So
I'm
I understand
therapist, so now
all
you're
sides.
Ref.
I'm going to try and be the, I'm going to be Switzerland here. Courtney, if you had a story and you were out there where one of the leading voices in Boston sports is going after you, and you've had three or four stories about this team that were right, and a colleague said you were lied to by the source, it would bother you.
Right.
It would bother me. However, I believe that there have been dueling times where Courtney and Rich have had stories or Courtney's had a story, and it is a punchline when Courtney might be wrong,
right.
Whereas it's an offense when a man, when Rich Keefe might be wrong.
That's all I'm saying. And again, if we were to go back and listen to what I said on Monday, I said nothing negative about Rich.
No.
Nothing.
We're not saying that, but
nothing.
It's not about...
I've always been a Rich Keefe fan. Like, I believe Rich Keefe... I don't know who this source is, so why am I blindly trusting this source? I know who Brad Marchand is. I know who David Pastrnak is.
Because you believe in Rich Keefe that he's not just getting information from a rando.
Right, so I'm blaming the source. I'm not blaming Rich Keefe.
No, both can be right. The source can be wrong, and Rich can be right. But I guess the point that I'm trying to play therapist and trying to see if you can get you to understand why he could potentially be upset is that... He has entrusted this source, and this source has been accurate for him.
Yeah, and
so,
I feel bad that this happened to him.
So when you... So,
like, what are we talking about?
So,
I truly don't care enough either
right.
to, like... If Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak are fighting or not, that is one thing. But Brad Marchand came out and with his... front with his face on camera saying that they're not. So I'm going to trust the face in which of the face of the franchise who's going out and speaking with his name behind it than a no name, no face source who's gotten things right in the past for Keefe this time may have missed the mark. Like I'm, and I have every right to believe that. Like,
of course.
No, we're not saying that.
But
I'm just saying
it seems like everybody's like, well, if you're not with the family, you're against the family.
No, not the case. I'm trying to ask if you're able to see, remove yourself from being in it and saying, okay, I could see why he would be upset a little bit.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Right, so, but see, your thing is you can't see it. And so I think that's where the kind of the issue comes with this, because when you rely on a source, that source is basically... And you're in a circle and becomes part of you. Where
right. If the source screwed him, then it's time to find a new source.
Right.
I think what Courtney's dealing with is
she's getting the vitriol that would ordinarily go to her if she had a story that was not confirmed.
Right. Correct. But I think what he's saying, and I'm just, you know, he's saying that when you look at your sourcing history and his sourcing history.
I got one wrong. All right.
Right, and he's saying
it seems like we're pretty even.
He's saying he's never got any wrong.
Well, it seems
and
like
I don't want to do too much carrying for Courtney. She doesn't need me to. But the story that Courtney had about the Celtics potentially
people forget about.
I mean the Red Sox. Sorry, the Sam Kennedy, the Red Sox interest in the Celtics in some capacity was reported. Then Sam Kennedy lost our number for the final three front office reports.
Right.
And then Rob Bradford, out of thin air, goes, no veracity to this. The Celtics have never entertained any offer from the Red Sox in any way. And then, oops, they did. So it was like, it's just interesting where the inflection points are when stories are broken.
It's very obvious, Curtis. Like, it was the same thing when I had a Jeremy Swayman story and Spittin' Chicklets had a Jeremy Swayman story. And I was getting... obliterated on the internet constantly, and you know it seemed like everybody's like team Spittin' Chicklets, which they should be. Like, the fact it's just me, people have an issue with me, and that's all right, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to feel bad for saying, wait, this source may have been wrong, and I'm sorry for Rich Keefe. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for him, and now everybody's mad at me. Like, I don't get it.
I always look at the person And when, like, when you get these sourcing stories, right, like, you get them all the time, all over the place. And I always look at the person, and that's why I think maybe this is where some of his disappointment comes from. It's because I always look at the person. I go, all right, so that person has been pretty good before. They've been spot on. And
when's the last time anybody's been in a locker room? Like, that's the other thing. When people are coming at me saying, like, oh, how do you know if the front office person's on the locker room? I don't know. It's been 3 years of me on this show. Before that, I was in a Bruins dressing room pretty much once a week,
at least,
usually three times a week. And everything I saw in that dressing room was that David Pastrnak was a leader. So I'm sorry, I'm basing my opinions on this team off my personal experiences. People think that I just got this job because Greg liked me and I don't have any prior experience in sports. Newsflash, I've worked in sports for over 12 years now. And I've been in plenty of locker rooms, plenty of dressing rooms. So I can speak on this.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
And by the way, quick idea, and not to sound misogynistic, even though I've been having Courtney's back, why have we not gone back to calling the sports update the Flash when Courtney does it? Talk about getting eyeballs.
I have no idea. I just, it's kind of like, you know, when you see these things, like, you start to, like, look at, and I think that's where maybe a person would be upset a little bit, because it's really the person, right? Like, we if Ben Volen says something, do we believe him?
You're welcome.
Right. And so a lot of the times now it becomes, even though Ben Volen, it might not have necessarily been him, but it was the person who was given in the information. But the bad look is on the person who breaks the story rather than who the source is.
And it shouldn't be. Anyway.
If you get a DM, though, and you're Ben Volen from a guy that says Barstool rocks, you might not want to say that he works in the Patriots ticket office.
Either way. You know, but Curtis, you've been in this business, and Courtney, you've been in this business a long time. It's not the source who gets the brunt of it. It's the person who said it, and I think maybe that's his point, is like, it looks like he gave us... or he ran with something that was fake, and he, you know, that kind of thing. So I was just trying to see, like, trying to play therapist here, but obviously, you know, you guys still see it from two different sides of the world.
I always think of you, Wiggy, as a guy that just wants to bring people together, and that's
I was just, I like to get, you know, I like to get the inside and the information and kind of see, like, all right, and you always like to, you know, in this business here, people always say, all right, can you get it from my point? And then you try to take yourself out and go, all right, I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. But I see what you're saying. You're like, you don't see it, but here's where you stand. So it's always.
I stand. I love Rich
business,
Keefe. I love Rich Keefe. I love Jones and Thief. I listen every day after our show. I think they're great.
There you go.
Yeah, and I think that just the last point on this is, if there wasn't such a blowback from the organization and the team sponsored media against Keefe's story, then I think his anger towards Courtney would not be the same.
Right.
In other words, she's sort of the face of people that don't think he's right, and so he can't yell at the entire organization, so he's expressing his frustration.
And it's the player, too, because if it was a different player...
He could be right. I'm just saying, we have no idea. We have no idea. And I asked a question that kind of got overshadowed when it was asked to me a million times. Oh, you didn't get a second source? You didn't get a second source? I asked Keith that. He's like, well, no.
And it's the player, too, because it's Brad Marchand, the beloved player. And if it was somebody that might not have been in that world, that we might have kind of, like, you know, if it was DeBrusque, we would have been like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? So a lot of it goes into, especially when somebody comes out and goes, the player. Like today with the whole Dakota and Jaylen Brown situation, right? There might be some people out there that go, oh, I believe this a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to have waylaid that, but
for the record,
I think that I agree with Keith's scoop just because I like it. I don't know if it's true or not, but I think that the reaction to it was such that it bothered them so much that this was being discussed, not that it was false. But we will get to They Said It next. I apologize. We got deep down that, but I think we learned a lot. And I think, Wiggy, you got a future as a therapist. We're going to get to They Said It. We're going to hear from Dakota. We're going to hear from Michael Lombardi, and we're going to ask you which is true, one, both, or neither. But right now, here's Courtney with what's trending.
Ah. Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jackson 2-for-2 so far here. That would be Pot USA.
You right? Got it.
Is that in honor of the inauguration on Monday?
Yes, you've cracked my code, Curtis.
I love it. Well, Jackson is in. Shime is off today. Greg is in Miami. And by the way, the security for that inauguration has got to be the craziest endeavor the only thing I can think of that would be similar would be the first Super Bowl wigs that you were in, the Super Bowl 36 in New Orleans, which was the first one after 9/11. How crazy was that? Do you remember that at all? Was
Yeah, I don't really remember it as a player. I know they moved us out of one hotel to another hotel the night before the game. But coming into the stadium, you always get the police escort. You go in the back. So I don't really remember it to that effect. I would think that especially for Trump, already after being,
shot at,
I would think that the security is, like you said, something that we have never seen before. It just bananas.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But that will be Monday, and we have to get to this right now.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Mondino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, Jackson, where do we begin today?
Well, Curtis, we begin with Mike Lombardi, Bill Belichick's guy, talking about the rumors of him maybe coming back to the NFL with Dallas or with the Raiders and Tom Brady. Well, here's what Mike Lombardi told Pat McAfee.
Other teams that are recruiting the same guys that you guys are recruiting are definitely using these reports against you guys, I assume, in recruiting, which is why you have been so loud and adamant about the fact that you guys are committed to the North Carolina football team. Is that an accurate assessment on the situation?
Yeah, I mean, I'm loud because I think so many of them, especially the one that keeps going on, is being generated by someone who doesn't like our program, doesn't like me or like Coach Belichick, and refuses to allow it to go. It's Parcells used to say to me all the time, quit kicking the horse, he's already dead. Well, they keep quit kicking something that doesn't exist.
Okay. All right, I get it. I mean, I get the recruiting element of it, because if you're a young recruit, or you're, you know, somebody that might be in the portal with a couple years left, you don't want to go to UNC with Bill and then Bill bounce.
Right. That sucks for Bill. Right. If these are not true, if there's no truth to this, and yes, maybe documents haven't been signed, but Bill is committed, then that sucks for his recruiting. And that sucks for the players currently on the UNC team, who are probably very excited to have Bill Belichick as their head coach, mm-hmm. because now all the attention is kind of moving away from that and moving into a different discussion on will Bill stay?
Well, I mean, sign the contract. And secondly, Bill's most accurate quote that I think summed up his job as a head coach was, do business as business is being done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how business is done in the college world. Like, people use Urban Meyer's pursuit of the Jaguars' job
right.
to intercept in how he's recruiting at Ohio State. It's done with Lane Kiffin, Nick Saban. It's done with everybody. Whenever there's a college coach that's rumored for an NFL job, the competing coaches in that conference use that against that school. Like, that's just business.
I don't get why he just hasn't signed the contract.
Because if he gets a job, he's going to take it.
So
it's not that hard.
Right, but what's he holding out? Like, because none of the teams have requested. The teams that are open, have coaching openings, are all open, ready to hire a guy, interview guys. We've seen it before. So unless he's waiting for, like, one of these, you know, remaining teams left in the playoffs, what's...
But that's what it is. I think it stands to reason for Bill Belichick to not join a bad team at this stage. He should join a team that is close. Let's say the Bills lose, and for some reason Sean McDermott gets fired. Let's say Nick Sirianni gets fired. And if they call Bill, then he will have one less thing to deal with as an obstacle of getting out of North Carolina into the NFL.
So
I wonder if the buyout even exists if he hasn't signed the contract.
Right. I guess so. If that's the case, then Bill's not going to sign until after the championship rounds then, or maybe, you know.
But just look at how Wiggy, you were coached by this man.
Mm-hmm.
He focused on everything. Every little intricacy. If he thinks that there is an opportunity, even if it's 10%,
mm-hmm.
that Howie Roseman calls and says, I want you to replace Nick Sirianni, then why would you put your signature on something?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, it is interesting that he hasn't signed the contract. So that's the interesting part there.
And did Mike Lombardi in that defensive bill say he had actually signed the contract?
I don't know.
Because if he had signed the contract, they would have just said, here, instead of a picture of his girlfriend, it would be the signed contract by Bill Belichick. Anyway, what's next, Jackson?
We have David Andrews talking about comparing Mike Vrabel to Bill Belichick.
I haven't had, you know, spent tons of time with him yet, obviously. You listen to his conference and things like that, and there's a lot of things that Bill said. And even with Gerard, there was a lot of things that Bill said. And, you know, I think people be like, oh, like, people try to be like Bill. And it's not that to me. It's like, look, like, there was football truths that Bill said, and you know what I mean, Hoy. You've been in those meetings.
Yep.
And, like, yeah, maybe Bill had a unique way of presenting those, but it was the truth.
All right, I get it. I mean, I feel like this, and I know that we've had this conversation before, but Bill Belichick, his DNA is on all of the coaches in some way, some shape, some form. Like, even with Vrabel, who's kind of said, like, yeah, there are things that I learned from Bill that I do, in the sense that I want to be similar in the fact of, like, doing your job, you know, holding guys accountable. Like, that's a Belichick thing. But Belichick learned that from Parcells. I always talk about my time in the NFL. I was fortunate. My first head coach in the NFL was Bill Parcells, and Belichick was on that staff. And I saw a lot of the things Bill Parcells talked about, Belichick talked about when he became head coach. And just like David Andrews, their personalities are just different. And I agree with Teddy Bruschi, and both Teddy and I have both played for Parcells. Vrabel has more of a Bill Parcells personality than he does a Belichick, but he...
Which one's scarier?
They're both scary. They just do it in different ways. Like, Parcells is scary, like bull in a china... what's that? Like
bull in a china shop.
China shop, yeah. Where he's just like, you never know what he's going to do. Where Belichick is more like serial killer. type of scary. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, everything is, like, plotted out. You don't see it coming. You don't know what's going on. Where...
How would you compare Belichick, Parcells, and Ken Laird in terms of coaching?
They all have similar traits, you know. Ken does. Ken's scary in the way where he befriends you, and then it's like, whoa, you know. Oh, so, but no, but yeah, I think that's and that's what I love about Vrabel, and that because I've been around a lot of coaches in the NFL, and I think the reason why I love what Vrabel brings to the table is he brings like the best of both worlds where it's like, you know, it's a little bit of that Parcells type of personality, humor, but you know where you stand. And it's the same thing with like the Belichick, you know, being blunt, telling you like the way things are. And that's what I think that guys need, no matter how old they are, what generation is, a guy that is transparent and honest with you as a player. And that's what I think Vrabel is going to bring to the table.
Right. The hard truth. I would also say that we all talk about the coaching tree and guys. The reason coaches have failed outside of Bill Belichick is because they have tried to be him. The only way you succeed in anything in life is if you're yourself and you get better at it. And what I think what Mayo suffered with is that he was so focused on not being Bill, he didn't really know who he was. So that's why he kept going back and forth and vacillating and having different comments about different things on different days. Vrabel, good or bad, will be himself, which obviously has a lot of earmarks of what Bill Belichick was as a head coach. What's next, Jackson?
Speaking of being yourself, we hear from Aaron Rodgers on his future with the Jets in the NFL.
No team, future, different things. But I think everybody understands that it's going to come down to a GM and a coach and myself. And whether we all want to do a dance together or if it's not in the cards.
That makes it sound like he's not coming
so
back.
Tedious. Oh, God. I think he'll come back, but Courtney may be right. I don't know. I just the three-part Netflix series was so long. Like, at some point, like, he's not as interesting as he wants you to think he is. Is that fair?
I wonder if Aaron Glenn is the front-runner, former Jets player.
I heard that.
But he's also a former Saints player, and he could be because the Saints, did they fire their head coach too, right? They fired their head coach, right? Wasn't it?
Loomis?
Then the New Orleans Saints fired their head coach. For some reason, I'm thinking Dennis Allen, and then there was an interim coach. I could be wrong.
Yeah, they fired Dennis Allen in the middle of the season.
Right. So this, and he also played for the Saints. I'm wondering, you know, is Aaron Glenn the type of player, former player, that could get Aaron Rodgers to be like, if he does decide to go to the Jets, to be like, oh, okay, you know.
Aaron Glenn was an awesome character. He looked great on Hard Knocks with the Lions a couple years ago.
Right.
He's an impressive guy. I don't see the Jets going to another defensive coach. Do you?
No, I don't know. But I'm only bringing that because Aaron Glenn had a lot of success as a player with the Jets, and he was there when Woody Johnson was the owner. And like I said, I was there with him. So
which one's more enticing, though? If you look at an organization as a whole, I guess take Aaron Rodgers out of it because
who
knows?
But I don't think you can take Aaron Rodgers out of it because he's the cool. You got Derek Carr in New Orleans, or you got Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. You have Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson. You offensively, you have Chris Olave in New Orleans, and then Alvin Kamara. So I think you have to kind of break it down like that. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, both divisions aren't great. You know, NFC South, AFC East.
I would probably lean more toward, if I was Aaron Glenn, I'd probably go more towards New Orleans because the NFC South would be a lot easier to win than the AFC East just because Josh Allen's in it.
All right, where do we go next, Jackson?
All right, well, we've been talking about it all morning. Dakota had a scoop about the Celtics and Jaylen Brown perhaps being traded. Here's what he said.
The Celtics, to get a better valuation, potentially might be moving one of their top players. The luxury tax for next season, the Celtics are going to have to pay almost double the amount of their salary. Now, There's literally only maybe three teams that could handle Jaylen Brown's salary right now. I think it's lining up that Jaylen Brown is going to be moved to the Houston Rockets before the trade deadline to alleviate that $200 million in extra salary that they're going to have to pay in that luxury tax. That's going to shape the difference in the value of the deal that's being worked on right now.
Wow.
That would suck. God, would that suck. And then he goes to Ime and the Houston Rockets.
And the Houston's, and they are playing good. They are playing really good. I think they're maybe second or third in the Western Conference.
They're second. They're 27-13.
Yeah. So he would.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't want to believe it because it would really suck and it would be just, I don't think there would be a comp in the history of the NBA of a team at the level that the Celtics are at right now, starting to dismantle right as they won their first championship, all because of a sale.
Yeah, that would be like, you know, the Bulls trading Scottie Pippen after they won their first championship. I just don't necessarily see how, or even like the Golden State Warriors trading like Klay Thompson right after they won the first one. I can't see how you got, you know, and you arguably have two of the top, you know, 10 best players in the NBA, top 10, top 15, depending on where you put Jaylen Brown. And if you're the Celtics, that's your, basically your foundation, and you're going to move on from one of those pieces. So,
The only reason I don't really buy into it is because the Celtics players are not shrinking violets. Like, I feel like if Jaylen Brown was being bandied about in trade talks because of this prospective sale of the team, someone would know about it. No? I mean,
yeah. I mean, he's been there. Yeah, his name
has been here before many times.
And so I know Jaylen would be super frustrated, or you would think, because his name, if there was any truth to this, like, we're doing this again?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Anyway, I find it fascinating. Would love to hear your thoughts out there, 617-779-7937. If you believe it or not, we're talking about the Celtics. We're talking about the games this weekend, the Patriots, their pursuit of their next offensive coordinator, Bill Belichick, his future. But right now, let's get to this.
I'm sorry, what are we going to do?
The news?
Oh, okay. My bad.
It's all right.
No problem. It's okay, usually around this time. It's the news with Courtney.
Gotta find it. It's a lot of things.
It's time for
people who have lost faith in the T. I tell them, stay tuned, right?
The news.
If we lose faith, then why are we even trying?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Might be a private, you know how they have the private people that go?
The news is sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health, with four locations, including their newest in Woburn, with appointments as early as 7 a.m. Visit northeastmenshealth.com for more.
Silicon Valley
on WEEI.
Well, yesterday, Maura Healey delivered the second State of the Commonwealth address of her time served as governor. Healey highlighted her senior and child tax credits, free meals at public schools, which is a great one, and no-cost community college. Here's a bit of what the governor had to say.
The state of our Commonwealth is strong. When we deliver results and people are free to chase their dreams, there's no limit to how strong we can be.
Oh, God.
Yeah, she goes on to say the state ranks first in the nation for education, innovation, and health care. I believe it, for education and health care. Innovation, I don't think we're very innovative here.
I would just say what she just said is just, never has there been a time in our state's history where we do more for people who arrive here just unannounced than we do for the citizens of the state. To live in Massachusetts is insane if you actually have to work for a living and raise a family. If you just arrive here, then we're going to give you, you know, 6 months of free hotel stay, free food, and healthcare. It's a great setup Maura Healey's created.
Yeah. This is a crazy story, and it's been going on for a bit, but now I feel like we can talk about it. Five Assumption College students appeared in court yesterday. They're accused of talking to an active duty military man who was in town for a funeral through a dating app.
Mm-hmm.
So he believed he was meeting an 18-year-old woman on the campus,
right.
But while he was there waiting for her at a campus basement lounge back in early October, he was confronted by a large group of students holding up their cell phones. It appeared to be a staged event that is a part of the, quote, catch a predator trend on TikTok.
All right.
They were yelling at him. They were keeping him basically hostage into this basement, calling him a pedophile. And then once he broke free, they chased him to his car. He said he was punched in the face. He finally got away and called police. They were arraigned on conspiracy and kidnapping charges in Worcester District Court. Mm. They pled not guilty and are due back in court on March 28th. We can hear the reaction from Julie Harmon, who runs a Facebook page called Predator Poachers, Massachusetts.
If you're going to call somebody a child predator, it's smarter to have actual valid proof. So we always suggest to them to, you know, if they have evidence, bring it to law enforcement.
So wait a second. So the TikTok challenge of
is
this
to basically do, you know, that TV show,
yeah, I know, to catch a predator.
So people on TikTok have started doing this, but they're posing, I believe, as like, you know, 13-year-old girls or boys,
right,
getting these people to start talking to them and meeting them at like a Walmart or Target. You
and
see it all over
and
TikTok.
And then blowing their spot up.
Yes. And then they call police and police,
right,
come and take it from there, but they're putting this person's face and name.
Everything on blast.
Yeah.
But this,
so
but they did this and said that the girl was 18.
This member of the military said that it was an 18-year-old girl that he was meeting up with,
okay,
at Assumption.
Okay.
And these kids, when talking to police, are like, yeah, it got out of hand. But this is not just out of hand. This is harassment, assault. You name it, kidnapping.
I just don't understand. Why would you do this to random people? What's the, like, you just want to embarrass? I don't
for
understand.
Clicks.
Like,
embarrass them.
And it's for clicks.
Yeah, clicks.
Which is terrible.
Clicks and embarrassment. You know, maybe, I don't think it's a good idea, but if the person is on, you know, social media and willing to meet a 13-year-old, maybe you should embarrass them and put,
right, oh yeah,
you
of
know,
course.
And I know the whole show to catch a predator, and I didn't realize this, now they were doing this as a challenge. But when you said 18, I didn't know if this was like a prank that they were just trying to get somebody to beat them up.
Well, this military member said 18. I am sure that police have looked at the messages,
right,
and have confirmed that it was 18, which,
right,
is legal, and that's why these five Assumption students are,
right,
you know, facing charges and not the military member.
Yeah, don't try to beat the police.
Yeah.
Let them do their job.
And if you want to do this, yes, go after people that are going after, you know, children.
Exactly.
What a waste of time. Courtney, Sunday, what are you going to do? Are you going to have like a goodbye TikTok party? How is that going to be? How are you going to handle the end? Because the rumor now is that they're just going to turn it off.
We're going to get to that in the news.
Oh, okay.
At the end of the news.
Wait.
Yeah. And how the Biden administration is handling it as we get ready for Monday. So I'll talk about
Courtney,
it then.
That's a great point. We will get to that and the rest of the news coming up next. Big Hill is headed to his love shack in Miami. He'll be back on Monday. I hope you all have a wonderful, long Martin Luther King Day weekend
and how about this, Curtis?
Chilliness back home.
Greg just texted me. Person that he's sitting next to on his way to Miami in a Greg Hill Roadshow sweatshirt.
Oh, wow. Are they?
Yeah. What are the odds?
And I guarantee you.
Yes, Lindsay.
Right. Good one, John.
Well played.
That was good.
And he's definitely coming off dry January down in Miami.
Oh,
I'm not buying it.
There is no way he makes it through.
If he comes back and is like, oh, I didn't drink, I'm be like, stop capping.
No way.
There is no way you're going to Miami. You already got a couple dinners set up.
Because Lindsay has talked to me and she's taking the, you know, just I'm being healthy in January. You know, if I want to have a drink here or there,
right,
I'm going to.
Right.
So she's having a damp January, and I think Greg is going to be more damp after this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he was bragging so much about getting 3 days in, it's not even, basically you split the month in half, and then next week is the road show, which he's already said he's going to be boozing at.
Yeah.
So, God love him. Drink, don't drink, have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I think you will see Greg Hill along South Beach with a Manhattan in his hand, but let's get back to the news so Greg doesn't get mad at me.
Massachusetts is considering replacing the Tobin Bridge with a tunnel. This was brought up on Wednesday as the project manager of an ongoing 18-month study to examine the 74-year-old bridge said the tunnel wasn't out of question. Here's a resident reaction on WCVB.
The Tobin cuts through a large part of Chelsea Square and downtown Chelsea. So removing this, you know, elevated highway would be a good thing.
All right.
Okay. We tried this once. What are we doing? The big dig literally was the biggest boondoggle in the history of nationwide interstate highways.
Well, they people learn, forget.
They learn from their lesson, though. That's always the second go around. Remember, you know, it's always.
Oh, so you're saying that like the big dig was Cleveland, and the Sumner will be like Belichick and the Patriots?
No, I think the big dig. Yeah. You could, I was gonna go with the Vrabel, but yeah,
yep.
The big dig will be. You know, we talked to you know Billy O about your second go around as a head coach, and you learn so much more. I mean, the Tobin is an ish show. I used to hate going over that bridge.
Yeah.
Hated it. They're always fixing it. They're always knocking one of the lanes out. And then they got the stupid bus lane on it when you're at the top coming down.
Is the Tobin the bridge that I know what the Tobin is, but I'm saying, is it the bridge that guy who
Charles Stewart?
Yes,
yeah, that's the one he swan dived off. Yeah. He swan dived off the Tobin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the there was a tunnel story I saw just while we're on this last week, which was insane, but they're actually people that are talking about connecting Europe and the United States in a tunnel.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that.
For a train.
Yeah.
For a rail.
How long would that take?
I think you mean the actual building of the tunnel?
No, how long the train ride
would be. They made it seem like the train ride was only going to be, and Curtis, I can't remember the story, but it was going to be like 2 hours.
No.
Yeah, well, like the train was going to travel at some ridiculous speed.
2 hours?
That would be so amazing if you could go from New York to London in 2 hours, but you can't get from Alewife to Ruggles or wherever. Like,
but would you trust that? Like in the middle of the ocean, if something goes wrong, you are screwed.
Yeah, I did the one from London to Paris on a rail, and it is kind of spooky.
I mean, you're like screwed in a plane in the middle of an ocean anyway. What's the difference?
Sometimes I'm like, well, if the plane can just cruise down and land onto the water at the right angle, you know, you could survive.
All right, so here I don't know how much truth this is. There is to it. So they are trying to do a travel from London to New York in just 60 minutes with a proposed 20 trillion dollar tunnel. So I
love
60
it.
Minutes.
60 minutes.
So you could live in New York and work in London.
Yeah, so they're saying this allows persuaded vehicles to travel speeds of excess to 3,000 miles per hour. I don't even know if that. Can you even get on something going that fast?
That seems insane. What is Mach speed? That's got to be.
I have no clue.
$20 trillion. Let's do it. Yeah, I'm all in.
That'd be pretty cool.
All right, but I guess here's the kind of caveat to this. It says, according to Newsweek, building this train transit tunnel at a similar pace would take approximately 780 years to be completed.
Can I put on my tinfoil hat for a second?
So believe it, we won't see it.
No, unfortunately.
Can I put on my tinfoil hat for a second? Do you guys believe that in LA there are these hidden tunnels that celebrities use to get from point A to point B, and there's like restaurants and Starbucks and stuff.
Like a whole world underground?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we have that in Boston for Greg.
No, I don't believe that.
I kind of believe it. And there are some people saying that mischievous things happen down there, and that, you know what, I'm not even.
Like ditty potties?
Yeah. I'm not going to go down. Yeah.
No, I don't buy that.
I don't think they need tunnels in that. I think they just have those massive mansions where they do things that nobody can see.
I can see like there's a, you know, they might build a tunnel from, you know, one house to another.
I don't know, though. You're never sitting on the highway, I don't think, and see like Diddy in a car next to you. Like,
Yeah, then they just have Justin Timberlake on a highway, you know, giving the guy next to him the bird, or, you know, getting into a shouting match.
He's had a tough year.
Yeah, so I
Well, Kim Jong-un has that in North Korea. There's tunnels just for him. Like, he goes everywhere. He can do whatever he wants. I'm not sure if they have it in Hollywood, but I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. Now we go to Greg's favorite island. Town officials on Nantucket are considering an island-wide pickleball ban. We knew this was coming. The Nantucket Board of Selectmen discussed the issue at their Wednesday night meeting due to constant noise complaints. We can hear from Megan Trudell from the Nantucket Planning and Land Use Services on WCVB.
I think the intent of this article is the planning board as a regulatory board is hearing the community, and this is really going to spark a conversation on, you know, if or how this may be controlled through zoning.
Isn't Nantucket like a big place that old people go to?
It's a piercing sound.
And they live, a lot of old people live out there and go there.
I mean,
and don't old people generally play pickleball? So this could be something that'd be tough.
Yeah, people don't like the sound.
I have never seen a story that, obviously I'm wrong because it keeps coming up, that I just, for the life of me, I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how people's lives have been ruined by pickleball. Courtney and I walk past one right by the hockey rink in South Boston.
Yeah, but you guys are different, though. You guys live in the city, so you get used to the noise. That becomes so everything, and noise in the city is like you become used to it. Living in the city, yeah, I fall asleep in 5 minutes.
But if you
and the window can be open.
If you live next to a pickleball court, don't you just get used to it?
No, but if you're
it's like if you live by an airport.
No, but because you live there, but if Nantucket is generally a quiet place all year round, or the majority of it, and then they drop a pickleball courts in that area, then that noise you never get used to because you're used to it being quiet.
I wear headphones sometimes when I'm outside. I can't sit on the deck. I haven't sat on the deck in 2 years.
Yeah, see,
I haven't sat on the deck in 2 years.
Sounds like Mike Milbury every time.
We live in the city, so for us, it's like you get used to sirens and all helicopters and all types of stuff. But can you imagine living someplace where, you know, 6 days, 7 days out of the week, it's relatively quiet?
Yeah. All right, we've got a very creepy story up next.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put the camera in the lady toilet?
And it's kind of creepy, which is nice.
Back up, you creep.
The Italian soccer club Lazio fired a guy named Juan Bernabe, the club's falconer. For the past 15 years, he cares for the eagle that flies over the stadium at every home game. And Bernabe recently received penis enhancement surgery from the team doctor, which is fine, which is great. He then proceeded to post photos and videos of his penis post-surgery on his private Instagram account to talk about how great the surgery was, how successful it was, and a few other points about the penis that we don't need to get into. It was pretty long. After the firing, Bernabe said...
I got to tell you, Courtney, given the past week, this is a ballsy story by you.
Yeah, you're giving so many layups and alley-oops to people.
Yeah, you know what? That shows I don't care. He's told The Athletic, for me, nudity is normal. I grew up in an open-minded family of naturists.
Mm-hmm.
Naturists?
Naturists.
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 I don't understand what's pornographic about the photo. So he's standing by it, but the team is firing
him.
Okay,
can I ask a quick question? Wiggy, you've been on teams. Courtney, you've been on a college team, and you know people that have. Is it normal for a team doctor to perform penis enhancement surgery?
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, I mean, the team doctor, I guess.
Then that's what Courtney said the story. The team doctor performed it.
Oh, and maybe the team doctor is a good enough doctor where they can do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, not only can I give you penis enlargement, but I can also repair your ACL.
Seven is dominated the world, though. Yeah.
Courtney, you've left yourself wide open.
No, I'm just saying. But I saw that story. I thought it was kind of crazy.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. It was his private Instagram account, though. I don't think he should be fired for that.
No, I don't think you should either. Any chance?
The team doctor should be proud. If you did a good job, maybe you can get more business.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you should be fired for this. Is this something that maybe you run this story by Santo?
Nope. Moving on. There is a TikTok ban update. The Biden administration has announced that they will not do anything with the pending TikTok ban and leave it up to Donald Trump, who takes office on Monday. So the way in which this law will work, TikTok isn't required to go dark until January 19th. It's the app stores and internet hosting services that could be on the hook if they keep providing their services to TikTok. So the law will have fines up to $5,000 per user if an app store keeps it on.
Right.
So, Curtis brought up earlier that is it just going to be a switch that flips? No, it seems like every night when you go to bed, your apps update themselves. They fix bugs or whatever else is going on. If the TikTok store does not, if the app store doesn't have TikTok anymore, those will not be addressed. So your app will not be updating every single night or whenever they do their updates. Therefore, your app will just stop working at a certain point.
About this and what TikTok will do. First of all, it should be a very big warning sign to everybody that uses TikTok, that TikTok is not simply selling this to an American company, because they don't want the American company to have all of the things that their business did to these unsuspecting teenagers in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. So if it was just a normal everyday industry, a normal business, you'd sell it right now, just like that in a different way. The NFL forced Daniel Snyder to sell the football team. He made $8 billion and he moved on. If you were just doing a business that you were trying to get new direction of, you would sell it. You would not hold on to it.
Yeah, but isn't it a little bit harder to sell because it's owned by a Chinese company or it's,
yeah,
you know,
Curtis
it's out in
is
China.
Saying if this was just a normal Chinese company, they would just sell to get the money. And it's interesting that they don't want.
So I don't know. I guess my point is maybe they ultimately will sell because there's so much money involved in it. But because it's, you know, a foreign based company, there might be a little bit.
Curtis is saying they've been spying on us, which they probably have. They can have whatever they want from my phone.
Exactly.
I mean,
what's the second point?
Candidly, I mean, whatever you talk about, you see in pop ups, no matter what, even if you're not talking to somebody on a camera, your phone's listening. But I'm not saying that it's unique to TikTok. I just found that interesting. Also, I heard that TikTok may preemptively shut it down in the United States as a way to put pressure on Trump as he takes office to put it back on, as opposed to it slowly going away.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but what do you ultimately think that happens? I ultimately think that somebody American or, you know, somehow, some way, it's sold to a company that, because there's just too much money involved in it that I don't just think this thing just goes away.
I thought there was no way it was going to go away, but the more that I'm seeing these TikTok influencers who will make millions of dollars on the app coming on their channel and saying, you know, please follow me on Instagram, it seems like their agents or their managers are saying this is actually going to happen.
Well, no, but eventually, do you think whether it's through Trump or, and I saw Mr. Beast or something like that, who must be big on TikTok, who's a YouTuber, already has like, you know, a handful of billionaires lined up ready to purchase it. So
I don't think it's going to get sold. I think a new app is going to replace it. I think Trump is going to get like Truth Talk, you know, something like that.
So you think ultimately that it'll just go away. You don't think that somebody will buy it?
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to sell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. If your life is changing because TikTok is gone, I'd love to hear from you. 617-779-7937. We've got Jackson 5 at 8:45. Courtney did a spectacular job with the news.
Thank you
very much. And we will get to your calls. And Wiggy has a bone to pick about a list around Boston's nightlife. We'll get to all that coming up next.